Now we have this chapter. This is the final chapter that concerns Solomon. And it's the 9th chapter here. And what is it that God would lift out above everything else and give this chapter here to us? Well, may I say to you that the thing that is important here is the fact that did Solomon succeed in doing what God intended Israel to do, to be a witness to the world? Well, the very interesting thing is that we are told here that it was accomplished, and the way that Israel was to witness is different than the way the church is to witness. Let me put it like this. Israel faced in, the church faced out. Israel was to go up to Jerusalem and invite the world to go. As we saw in the dedication of the temple, why the Gentiles were to come to Jerusalem to worship. But the church was to begin at Jerusalem and go to the ends of the earth. In other words, the church is to take the gospel to the world, and Israel was to invite the world to come and share in the revelation of God in the temple. Israel was to bear witness to the living and true God as a nation in a world of polytheism, of many gods. And the church is to bear witness to a resurrection and living Savior as individuals to all the nations in a world of atheism. Now, Israel fulfilled her God-given purpose to a certain extent, and that's evidenced by the number of Gentiles who came to Jerusalem to worship and to know God through the service of the temple there. The church, you see today, it's the measuring rod of the number of tribes and nations to whom we carry the gospel. Now, it is today the inclination of all of us that are in the church to disparage the efforts of Israel, and at the same time, we magnify the success of the church. Constantly, we hear on every hand of the failure of the nation Israel. They fail. And at the same time, an exaggerated report is given of the success of the gospel in faraway places. Now, the fact of the matter is we're in an awful apostasy today. The days are getting darker, and there are many very wonderful churches and pastors that are left, but these men know the difficulty of this hour in which we're living. I think there are a few peripatetic preachers and some teachers that are sheltered in some institutions. They seem to be the only ones who are looking at the present day situation through rose-colored glasses. Now, on the other hand, Israel succeeded in a far greater measure than we realize, and we measure their success by the final failure, the apostasy of the nation, and the captivity. Now, there was a period when they did not fail God. A witness went forth from Jerusalem to the nations of the world. They were drawn to Jerusalem like a magnet. The high water mark was during the reign of Solomon. The nation reached a crest and pinnacle at that time. Afterward, there was deterioration and a decline set in like dry rot. Now, the scripture gives to us actually two examples during the reign of David and Solomon, and there were many others that were not isolated, but these two we know about. Hiram, king of Tyre, friend of David, came to know God. He made lavish gifts. He furnished material and workmen for the temple. He was a son of Japheth. The queen of Sheba was a daughter of Ham, and she came from the ends of the earth. And it's her story that we're going to look at. After all, in the New Testament, we have at the beginning very few illustrations given to us. The Ethiopian eunuch, son of Ham, Cornelius, a son of Japheth, Saul of Tarsus, a son of Shem. Now, the story of the Queen of Sheba is given to us to record that Israel reached the ends of the then known world with a witness for God. We've seen this before, but very hurriedly, let me lift out some of the high points that are here. When the Queen of Sheba heard, that's important, she heard of the fame of Solomon. She came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company, and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. In other words, this man Solomon told her of the secret of his kingdom, that God had given him wisdom. He built the temple. This was the approach to God. Now, will you notice verse 3? When the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built. This is very interesting to note here. The very interesting thing about it is that back in 1 Kings 10:24, we are told, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. We are just given this one illustration of the Queen of Sheba that came. You see, the nation Israel was successful in witnessing to the world. And the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his minister, and their apparel, his cupbearers also in their apparel. But here was the thing that was impressive. And his ascent, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Now that ascent, it was the burnt offering. And that burnt offering speaks of Christ. And no nation had anything that would compare to an offering for sin. And this was the thing that was absolutely amazing to her, an offering that was pointing to Christ. David said so much about Christ, I don't think that Solomon left off talking about him. Now she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts, of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words till I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. In other words, this woman said, when I heard about what God had done, why, I just didn't believe it. But she had faith enough that when she heard about the greatness of Solomon, she made a long, arduous trip. And believe me, it was a long, arduous trip in that day. She didn't go out to the airport and take a plane and was there in a couple of hours. It was a couple of months and probably longer across a hot, burning desert. And she came all the way in order that she might know something of the wisdom of this man and found out about his approach to God. And that was the thing that left no strength in. And she had to say, I didn't believe it, but now I do believe. And she says, happy are thy men and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth to set thee on his throne. And now here she is praising God. May I say she came all the way, the Queen of Sheba. There's one in Africa and one in Asia. Ethiopia in Africa and Yemen in Asia. She's called the Queen of the South, which is of spices, the uttermost parts of the earth, which evidently means she came all the way from Africa. Her entourage and caravan reveals wealth and luxury of the Orient. The wise men never made a greater impression than this woman made. And she came with great pomp and ceremony, everything befitting an Oriental monarch. And then that burnt offering was what impressed her, most complete and perfect picture of Christ that's given to us. Now, how well did Israel succeed? Well, she came to know the living and true God. It's just like our Lord one day, you remember, when he spoke to the woman at the well, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship God. The hour's coming, and that hour did come, and today we're to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, but they came in Solomon's day. We are told in verse 22, these are the things to note. King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. This man is now bearing a witness to the world in that day. Verse 25, and Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the chariot cities and with the king of Jerusalem. This is a defect in the man's character, actually. The king was forbidden by the Mosaic law to multiply horses and wives. Solomon multiplied both. I was at Megiddo, and the thing that impressed me at Megiddo are the troughs there where they fed the horses of Solomon. That was one of his stalls that he had for them. Now we are told he reigned over all the kings from the river, even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar trees made he as sycamore trees that are in the low plains in abundance. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all lands. Now, he's one of the great rulers of the world. He succeeded his father David. Now we are told now the rest of the acts of Solomon. First and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and so on. Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Solomon slept with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. This is the record now of the reign of Solomon. Now, next time, we're going to see Rehoboam coming to the throne, the division, and follow through again, but God will put an emphasis, an unusual emphasis, and we'll see that there were five great revivals. So this concludes the reign of Solomon, and next time we take up the division of the kingdom and the history of Judah. The emphasis is put on Judah. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, we've come to the end of the reign of David and Solomon, and with that, the end of the kingdom united under their rule. As we learned in our study of 1 Kings, there was a split which resulted in the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. From this point on, we'll only be focusing on the southern kingdom, and more specifically, on five kings in the line of David, in whose reigns were periods of revival, renewal, and reformation. Now, in order to get the most out of our upcoming studies, we would always recommend that you read the scriptures before and after each of the broadcasts. If you do get a chance, try reading them several times before listening to Dr. McGee. It'll fully prepare you to hear from the Lord as he teaches.